Dedi Torah Marsha Chof Beis Edel Tovshin Pialef Rav Shalom Springer.
Good morning. Well, the time is approaching, just a week to go to Rosh Hashanah.
Let's see how the Torah introduces us to this Yom Tov.
B'chodesh ha-shvi, b'echod l'chodesh, yilachem shabosayn, zichroin trua mikro kodesh. That's the pasuk. Now, today's shiur is based on two shiurim. One is from Rabbi Matisyahu Salomon, Zohar Gezunt und Stark Sein, and the other one is from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal. And I put them together because, in fact, one quotes the other. Rabbi Salomon quotes Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, so I've taken from both, and today's shiur is a combination of the two. And we'll start with Rav Yaakov, who asks the following question, makes the statement that, in fact, Rosh Hashanah, the way we're given it in the Torah, excuse me, is no different from any other Yom Tov. We're not told by the Torah that it's a Yom Hadin. We're not really actually told about the Mitzvah Sayyim, other than Yilachem Trua, Trua Yilachem. So we discern the Rabbonon, that is, discern somehow or other that there is a Mitzvah Sayyim called Tkiyas Shofar. But we're not told any. Sukkos, for example, has got something very definite. Firstly, we have the Mitzvah of Yom Tov and the Somachta. And besides that, we have a Mitzvah Sayyim, which is the Arba Minim. But Rosh Hashanah is much more obscure. So there's nothing very explicit about Rosh Hashanah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, in the way they constructed our tefillos, told us with Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros that the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is Lehamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the job on this day, to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't tell us anything about the fact that it's Yom Hadin. In other words, the tefillos that we got from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola haven't got any references to din at all. It's only much later, at the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, where we are told to daven for Chaim, to daven for Panossa. That's much, much later. So Rabbi Yaakov asks the Kasha. That being the case, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who date back, of course, from between the Bote Mikdoshes, yeah, not 500 years before the period we're talking about, from the time of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, and the Anshei Knesset HaGdola is 500 years. And what about before then? So the Anshei Knesset HaGdola put together our tefillos, and they don't have any reference to Yom Hadin, Panosa, or Chaim at all. And they only told us, we mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how were all the people, Klal Yisrael, how were they Zoicha Badin before the Mishnah and the Gemara came along and told us, do you know it's Yom Hadin today on Rosh Hashanah? How were they Zoicha Badin? They didn't know anything about it. They were given it so much later. And his answer is a most interesting one. He says that before the Tanoim and the Amoraim, at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they knew how to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we don't know how to do that properly. How are you Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Seat him on a throne somewhere. It's a very difficult concept. It's a very abstract concept. And we don't know how to do that. But they did in the olden days, at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and of course before then, they knew how to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when they were Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, the way it should be done, then they benefited from all the spin-off benefits. They benefited from Chaim and Parnassah. They didn't have to specifically daven for it. They just did the Mitzvah Sayyim, which was to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by doing that properly, they were Zoicha Badin. All the other things came to them as a sort of freebie. On the other hand, our Chachomim saw, the Tanoim, the Amoraim saw, that the people don't know how to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I will say today, do we know how to do it? we try our best, and we're given lots of shiurim and droshes about being mamlik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But do we really know how to do it? Probably not. And the Tanoim, the Amoraim, thought the people do not, and it's going to get worse. So we better tell them. We better tell them that this is Yom HaDin, so that explicitly they daven for Panosa, they daven for Chaim, and therefore we have this historical event going on. So that's what we've got to do. We've actually got to daven. So far, we have Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. We'll come back to him. But let's now move over to the shiur of Rav Matisyahu Salomon. And he makes an observation, and in fact he quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, makes the same observation in regard to Shavuos. There's also something missing in the case of Shavuos. So the title of this shiur could be, I didn't give it a title, but it could be What the Chachomim Didn't Tell Us and What They Did Tell Us. That's really the title of what we're talking about. So we've just learned, as far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, until the Tanoim, the Amoraim, they didn't tell us that it was Yom HaDin because they instinctively knew it. And then they told us because we needed to know. Now, with Shavuos, we have a similar sort of construction and constellation. From the days of Chazal onwards, the days of Sfira changed from being Yimei Simcha to sort of Yimei Abel. Certainly, with the death of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, then that period of time, you know, changed in our historical context from being a very great Simcha, the lead-up to the Yimei Sfira, lead-up to Shavuos. But on the other hand, it turned for us to Yimei Abel, and in fact, Yimei Din. He tells us, Rabbi Matisyahu, that in fact, those times, that time of Sfira, that period of time was always Yimei Din. There's no actual change. It appears to us that there was a change at this time, but in fact, there was no change at all. And the period of Sfira, leading up to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, was always a period of din, and Shavuos itself is a Yom HaDin. So it's one of two Yimei Din, or three if you count Yom Kippur. So we've got Rosh Hashanah, that we know as Yom HaDin. We've now got Shavuos, which is also Yom HaDin. Only the Chachamim didn't tell us. We're not told. That's not the way Shavuos is represented, that it's a Yom HaDin. It is, in fact, Simcha. And there are many rayas for that, the Gemara Megillah, that Shavuos is treated as Yom HaDin. In fact, the Gemara itself. And it says that Tikkun Ezra. Ezra was Mesakan in the lining that we should line the Toichocha twice a year. Two different Toichochas. For Atzeres, before Shavuos, we line the Toichocha in Bechol Koisai. And before Rosh Hashanah, we line the Toichocha as we did a few days ago in Kisavoy. Why? Says the Gemara, "Kadei shetichle shana v'kila loseho," so that we should end the year and sort of get rid of the klolus, yeah, go past the klolus. Let's us sort of move on past the klolus. So the Gemara asks the obvious kasha. I understand in regard to Rosh Hashanah that we're ending the year. Ending the year, get rid of the klolus. But Shavuos is not the end of the year. There's no sort of end there of a sort of year end. And the Gemara says, Atzeres, that is Shavuos, it's also Rosh Hashanah. It's actually listed as one of the Abor Rosh Hashanim. And Rosh Hashanah is always an expression for Din. So therefore, since Rosh Hashanah is listed in the Mishnah as a time when we are judged in some way, that Tonu Batzeres al Peres Ha'ilon, as the Mishnah says, we are judged on Peres Ha'ilon, that's really quite a formidable Din, as far as our food is concerned and our panos is concerned. So therefore, Shavuos is also a Yom HaDin. And therefore, it has the reading of a Toichocha before then as well. So we now have a parallel between Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos. But of course, I mentioned again, that Shavuos we're never told, it's Yom HaDin. Eim Galin El Litznuim, where we're being told this, but in fact, it's not the way it is presented. The Shloa Kodesh tells us that just as Rosh Hashanah examines the person is examined and corresponds to the Chiddush HaOlam, Zeh HaYom Tchilas Masecha, we say in the Machzor. And so similarly, at Zman Matan Torah, the Kabbalah Satorah was also a production of a new human being. Anybody wants to see this at length, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch explains that there are actually two times when the world is created. Once at Maaseh Bereishith, then the physical world is created, and then once at Matan Torah again, when the actual social dimension and that the human being is created, because before then there were no laws at Matan Torah. So there are two types of creation, and in fact the same thing happens at both times. They're both times when man emerges as a created entity. So there are these two periods. I want to emphasize Shavuos before we move on in the following. Quoting the Rashi in Bereishis on Yom HaShishi, Rashi says the following. He says that Zelashoin Shom Dova Acher, he says as follows in a second pshat, Yom HaShishi, Shekulom Teluyim Ve'oimdim, everything is in the balance. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in year 1, and from then on until the year 2448, which is the year which the Torah was given, 2448, everything is hanging in the balance. Everything is besofek. Nothing is sure. Chiluyim v'oimdim, ad yoim hashishi, until the sixth day. What's the sixth day? Hushishi besivan. That's Shishi B'Sivan, which is our Shavuos. Shibi Yoim Vav Sivan, Shekibli Yisrael Esatayirah. From the day, from the moment, if you like, that Klal Yisrael was Makabal the Torah, from that moment, Nischazku Kol Yitziras Bereishis. From that moment on, the Bereishis, the beginning, the creation process was confirmed. Until then, it was wackling. Until then, it might have gone one way, it might have gone the other. Had Klal Yisrael said, no, I don't want the Torah, then as we know, the whole world would have been turned into Toyah V'Voyu, and everything would have gone backwards and reversed. So in other words, everything was hanging in the balance, until Yom HaShishi in 244, for 2,500 years, the world didn't know whether it was going to exist very much longer. Only after that time, when Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh V'Nishma, did we know, or did Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, know that the world was actually going to be established. V'nechshav ki'ilu nivra ha'olam ata. That means Shavuos is a time of creation. The world was created on that day because they said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam confirmed the fact that he created the world 2,500 years before then, that it was going to stay, was not going to be destroyed, and that is Yom HaShishi. Behei, the hey, the air, Sha'isa Yom, Vav Sivan, Hamuchon, Lematan Torah. Right from the beginning, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Yom HaShishi Baichud HaShemayim V'Oretz. From that moment on, the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying to the world that you should know that it all hangs in the balance, it's all besofek, and it will not be confirmed until Klal Yisrael give their answer to my question, will you take my Torah? So therefore we see that Shavuos is a really very important time. Not only is it Yom HaDin in a sort of very small sense that each of us are judged, but the whole world was judged on that day as to whether it will continue to exist or will not continue to exist.
Then there was a new decision about whether the world would exist, but in fact the Mabul, of course, was a confirmation that it's going to start again with Noach, and he began the process again as far as human beings are concerned. But there was no sophic as to destruction of the whole world at the time of the Mabul. Ribbono Shel Olam annihilated all living beings except Noach and his family with the purpose that they can regrow, recreate, and regenerate the world. That was the idea. But at that time, there was no question, as far as I know, of actual annihilation of the whole world and making it all go into Tohu V'Vohu.
And
yes, which is what he did. Emes Adam meant, in a general sense, all these corrupt people.
But of course he took out the kernel of survival from that and regenerated the world that way. And obviously that was his intention. I imagine had, and the Pasuk says that Noach Tzadik, Ish Tzadik, Tom Yomayev Doroysov, the Pasuk says that he was a Tzadik. Had there been no Tzadik, then could be that Emchel Zoram would really literally mean what he said. Could be. Anyway, let me go on. From a Yerushalmi that we're going to quote, again we're going to put together two things, one about Shavuos and one about Rosh Hashanah, and again derive the parallel between them. Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah, in the name of two Amoraim, which we're not very familiar with, B'chol HaKarbonos K'siv V'Hikravtem. When the Torah is talking about Karbonos, it says, V'kravtim. The Kan, Eitzel Rosh Hashanah, Ksiv Va'asisem. So it says V'asisem instead of the usual V'akravtem. Omar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikiven shenichnastem ledin lefonai, Rosh Hashanah, since you have presented yourself before me on Rosh Hashanah, V'yotzosem b'shalom, and you've emerged in one piece, in peace, you've been zoiche ba'din, Male ani aleichem kile nivrosom b'riyo chadosho. Each and every one of us go through the whole process of din, and we emerge from that din properly refunctioning, and we've got a new lease of life, and hopefully parnosa as well, life and parnosa. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I consider you, having been zoiche ba'din, that you are like a b'riyo chadosho. Rav Masharshia b'shem Rav Ida b'chol ha'kabonos k'siv chet. Wherever that we've got kabonos, it says chet. Like, for example, si'i izim echad l'chatos. Where we get si'i izim l'chatos, we got chet mentioned. Ubat seres, when it comes to shvuos, ein k'siv chet. Omer l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So just like we have that statement by Rosh Hashanah, where the Rebbeinu Shalom says, v'asisam, I'm going to make you into a new person. You have become a new person by being zoiche ba'din. So similarly, in the case of Shavuos, Omer lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mekiven shekibaltim aleichem oil Torah, since you are mekabel Torah, therefore, ma'ala ani aleichem kilu lo chatosim rimeichem, that as if you come out completely innocent, not only innocent, I've forgiven you your sins, that lo chatosim rimeichem, you have never sinned in your life, you're completely whiter than the driven snow. Adkan l'shoina. So we have these clear indications of Yom HaDin for Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaDin for Shavuos, and we get these two parallels in one chazal. So putting them together and combining the two is absolutely valid. So why is Shavuos an ordinary day of Simcha? Since we've just learnt that Shavuos is a Yom HaDin, and seemingly it's a sort of as serious as Rosh Hashanah. You know, we make a big thing of Rosh Hashanah being Yom HaDin. But Shavuos, we don't make anything of it at all. We treat it as Yom Kabbalah Satira, that we do. But we don't mention, other than in the odd shir, that it's a Yom HaDin as well. Why don't we make a fuss of it as far as its din aspect is concerned? And Gemara says further, to just muddy the pool a little bit more, Gemara says, Hakol Moedim, the Batseris Be'inon Nami Lochem. The Gemara says that all Yom Tovim, if it suits you, if you want to, you can fast. But on Shavuos, you can't fast. You may not fast. In other words, it's a machlokes, whether you may or may not. But even the man Da'omu says that on other Yom Tovim you may fast, he agrees, Hakol Moedim, that on Shavuos you may not fast. I would have thought, forget. Since we've now discovered that Shavuos is a Yom HaDin, I would have thought that is a really good candidate for fasting. You know, I want to do something which, you know, reflects the fact that it's Yom HaDin, and I have Emas HaDin, etc., etc., therefore I should be allowed to fast on that day. But Hakol Moedim, no, you can't, not on Shavuos. Adi Yom Tovim, go ahead. But Shavuos, you can't. So what is going on here? So, therefore, I don't celebrate, I don't commemorate on Shavuos the Pachat HaDin at all, the Emas HaDin at all. And so, although we know that Shavuos is Nikva as Yom HaDin, and we want to have a ribui of Zchuyos, how do we do that? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to borrow, Ramatasiol borrows the idea of what happens on Shavuos in the same way as we've been talking about at the beginning of this year of what happens on Rosh Hashanah. The question on Rosh Hashanah was, how were the people, before they were told that it was a Yom HaDin and that they should daven for Chaim and Panosa, how were they Zeich HaDin? And the answer was that they were Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they knew how to do it, and through their process of being Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, properly, they were Zeich HaDin. But us, who don't know how to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to be told explicitly, and therefore on Rosh Hashanah we do lots and lots to reflect the fact that it is Yom HaDin. However, Shavuos, we don't reflect the fact that it's Yom HaDin at all. We don't make any mention of the fact that it's Yom HaDin. Not even the Gabbat, the Sefer Torah says, who Yom HaDin. Nothing at all is mentioned as far as Din. So how is Zeich HaDin, since we don't actually recognize it or acknowledge it at all? So, taking a leaf out of Rosh Hashanah, Rav Yaakov says the following. In fact, the Martin Batisior says the following. What's happening on Shavuos is that we are Makabal Torah. Now, Kabbalah Satayra, that I can do. Could be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't. It's beyond me, above me. But Kabbalah Satayra, Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim, that I could do with Kabbalah Satayra, that I can do. And I can do Shavuos properly, which is the job of being Makabal the Torah. So therefore, I don't need to be told that it's Yom Hadin. Because if I'm a Kabbal Torah properly, which we are able to do, we're Zoicha Badin as a byproduct of our Kabbalah Satayra. And therefore, that's how we do it. In other words, it's the same process as Rosh Hashanah, but our Hachomim didn't feel the need to tell us that's Yom Hadin because we really can achieve it. By a proper Kabbalah Satayra, we can achieve the fact that we are accepting the Torah, and in fact, there's more than that, we have the quote from Rashi, that a man announces, so to speak, to his family, sits down at a meal, as we said before, that Hakol Moedim, they need Lechem, so you've got to sit down to a meal on Shavuos, and a person announces to his family that we have been Mekabel Torah. Imagine coming back from the Har Sinai process and having a meal, Kesudas Shloimeh B'Shata, a really sumptuous meal. And a person sits in front of his family and says, you know, family, this was the best decision we ever made. I'm happy with the decision. Rather than coming back from Har Sinai and wondering, what on earth have I agreed to just now? What did I agree to? 613 mitzvahs. What was this all about? And coming in with trepidation. All right, comes home, says Rashi, and he sits down at a meal and he says to his family, this is the most wonderful thing. I'm not just sleepwalking into this. I'm doing this with full consciousness. I'm a Kabbal Torah. So ye can be Mekabel Torah. And if you can be Mekabel Torah, and therefore the Torah, Mekabel, Lilmoy, the Lamed, Lishmoy, Velasois, just as they did at Har Sinai, Mitoich Simcha, there was a great Simcha at Har Sinai. There can be no greater Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim than being Mekabel HaTorah B'Simcha. There can be no greater demonstration of that. And therefore, Klal Yisrael could not have written higher. In other words, the fact that we are not told it's Yom HaDin on Shavuos is a merit, it's added value for us. Because that means if we don't know it's Yom HaDin, and our Chachomim didn't tell us it's Yom HaDin, I'm divulging it through this forum. But the fact is, the Chachomim didn't tell us, as that's part of our liturgy and that's part of our celebration of Shavuos. They didn't tell us. That means if we're Mekabel Torah Ba'ava B'Simcha, that means we are being judged in the best possible light. We couldn't be judged any better. If you're Mekabel Torah B'Simcha, then you are Zoicha Badin in the best possible way. And now we have clarity, we've got Bria Chadosha, we had before, and the job on Rosh Hashanah is that we should go Lifnai or Lifnim, before our Kodesh Baruch Hu, with the Avoida of Malchias if we can, and with Zoicha Badin, Keilu, Nivras, Bria Chadosha, as if we're freshly and newly created. We should make what? Can't cram too many things into one day. So the vort is, the Loshin used is kinsi nosom. We should, at Shavuos, be Mekabel Torah kinsi. The way it was received by Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, with all the simcha and all the Kabbalah, that's the way we should celebrate all our Shavuos. And then, nechshev kiilu lo chatosim me'olam, we come out absolutely clean, never having sinned ever. There's one difference, of course, between Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos, well, a few differences, with Yeridas HaDoros, as I explained from the words of Rav Kamenetsky, that we have to be told that it's Yom HaDin. And with Shavuos, being the function of Kabbalah Satayra, we're not told it's Yom HaDin, because we can achieve it by our own efforts. Let me carry on a little bit, because we're back to Rav Yaakov now, where he draws on this idea that with Niskatnu HaDoros, with the Yeridas HaDoros, that we have got to emphasize those mitzvahs that were given to us by the Rabbonon, that we didn't derive from the Torah directly, that the Torah actually wasn't given to the Katnus HaMoed. The Torah wasn't given, so to speak, in the way that the Loshon of the Torah works, to people who are a bit shaky about their Yiddishkeit. And he says the following, I want to draw you a picture, a story that I heard once in the following way. He says, a non-Jew, a goy asked a Yid, he said, you know, you have to walk around on Shabbos, maybe they have to walk quite far to their shuls. You have to walk on Shabbos, wouldn't it be much easier for you to ride in the wagon? And then you could go to shul, you know, in the wagon, much, much easier. Like this, on your day of Menucha, you have to walk, you know, sometimes a long way. So the Yid answered him, tell me, if you were in your wagon on your day of rest, and the tzir, I think that's the axle, the tzir broke, the axle broke, and there you were, broken down. Tell me, would you repair your wagon? So the guy says, of course I'd repair my wagon. You think I'd just leave it hefka? You think I'd wait 2 days until the AA turned up or whatever? You think I'd, of course I would repair my... So the Yid said, well, that, of course, would destroy, completely ruin your Yom HaMenucha if you did that. So Yaakov says, you know, with this story, that of all of a sudden, hevanti lifizeh, kol gezeiros rabbanan, with the demonstration of that story, all of a sudden I understood how the gezeiros rabbanan actually work. Because Torah nidna le'odom shu kulam ma'amin abatech, the Torah is actually given to people who are unshakable in their faith, in their bitochen, absolutely rock solid. And if a person, as you are allowed to min ha-Torah midoraisa, do masa or matan on Torah, you're actually allowed to discuss business on Torah mid ha-Torah. It's only, as we know, osa d'rabbanan. The Torah allows you to do it. How could the Torah allow you to do it? Because the Torah was confident that a Yid, who is absolutely a Shomer Shabbos, and he is Yorei Mibnei HaShabbos, will never do anything wrong. Even if he's talking about business on Shabbos, he will not write down the figures. He'll not do it. It's only later on the Chachamim felt that if you allow a Yid to do Masa Matan v'Shabbos, you know, we have our weak moments sometimes, and someone owes someone else a lot of money, he wants to write it down, and he might tucker, forget for a moment it's Shabbos. That's how it works, just like the cart that broke down in his story. And therefore, we need that Gezeira Drabonon to help us, whereas they didn't need it before necessarily. And with this sort of hashkofa in mind, that he brings a kasha from Rav Kalman Epstein, who's no less the person than the Ma'oy Vashemesh, a commentator on the Chumash. He asks the following kasha about Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah is a very strange Yom Tov. There is no reference to Hashanah Rabbah in the Bavli, in Shalmi, in the Midrashim. You know where Hashanah Rabbah comes from? All our knowledge comes from the Zohar HaKadosh. And so this of Kalman Epstein asked the Kasha, it's very, very strange. You know, we take it so seriously. All we know is that people go to shul and they clap, yeah, the Hashanahs, but it's not mentioned anywhere else in the authentic writings at all, Hashanah Rabbah. And he says, Hirgashti, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I felt, reading this Kasha of Rav Kalman Epstein, Hirgashti, I'll read you the words, Bekushyazu, that his Kasha was, Kushya Shalkantur. He was a bit of, you know, skeptical about that he was pouring a little bit of scorn on the fact that the only source for our behavior on Hashanah Rabbah, that's a Yom HaDin, that it's the last day of judgment, that Yom HaDin, it comes from the Zohar HaKadosh, that's a source. So Yaakov is trying to explain this now. And I'm over time. May I carry on a little bit? Explains it in the following way. I want to be mivayeh in explaining it in the following way. That with the Gezeiros Chazal and their takonas, that one of the takonas of Shammai and Hillel was that a person should not be in a room on his own with a light, with a lamp, an oil lamp. Why? We know, the Brisa says, Shema Yate. Perhaps he will just tell his learning, his concentrating, and he'll tip the lamp in order that it should burn better because it's beginning to sputter. So Yaakov asked the following question. Now tell me, did they beforehand used to be Yate the light? Before Hillel and Shammai came along and made their Gezeira, they're Tanoim, very late, 2,000 years ago. What about all the 1,000 years before that? Were they Mate the light or not? If the answer is no, well then it's no. Nowadays, do you find cases of people actually tipping the light? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. But why has it changed now? All of a sudden, we all are very, very worried. And the answer is, he says, because Yerivas HaDoiras means that beforehand, the Amos HaShabbos, the Amos HaYom is so great, they never would have dreamt of tipping the light. But now Hillel and Shammai sees, with Yerivas HaDoiras, that we need something extended. It's quite possible a person will forget his Shabbos and will tip the light. We have to make this Gezeira. So in other words, Achachomim tell us what to do depending on the door, depending on the state of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, he proves his point in the following way. Proves his point in a funny, very interesting way. The halacha is that on Yom Kippur, a person is allowed to stay in a room on his own with an oil lamp. We are not worried that on Yom Kippur, and even Yom Kippur Shechel B'Shabbos, that he will not be more to the light. Why? Because the Amos HaYom is so great on him, he will not be Masiach Das for a moment, and he will not do so. You see that the reason is because we don't trust a Yid on Shabbos completely, that he's left alone with the light on Shabbos, and never here he might be actually drawn in to do that. And therefore, I now understand, coming back to Hashanah Rabbah, I now understand why they kept it secret from us. And the only source we have is the Zohar. The reason is, because if you were told that our Hashanah Rabbah is equal to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shavuos if you like, it's a Yom Adin that would completely ruin the Yom Tov. We would take away from Simchas Yom Tov. And beforehand, when they knew, then they could Pravas Simchas Yom Tov, they could do Meraktim, they could do Rakitis, and still have in mind the fact that it's Yom Hadin. But nowadays, it's impossible to do that. If we were told it's Amos Hadin, etc., we would therefore ruin the Yom Tov completely by not having the Simchas Yom Tov. So Chazal kept it from us. But Lamaisa, it is still there in the background. And now I understand why Achachomim derived it later on from the Zohar. They didn't write it anywhere else in the Midrashim and in the Bavli and Yerushalmi in order to keep it from us so that we shouldn't do. So the fact that they were Meraktim in the old days, despite the Chassidim and Rishonim knew that it was Yom Hadin, didn't disturb the Yom Tov at all, because our Amos Hadin is not quite what theirs was. And their Emes Hadin could be combined with Simcha. So there we have some insights into what our Chachamim told us, what they didn't, when they told us, why they told us, why they didn't tell us. We have some instruction and guidance from our Chachamim. May this Yom Tov coming up be a Hatzolah for Kol Klal Yisrael. I wish all of Klal Yisrael Siva v'chsima toiva, a good kibbutz the year, your Lonu v'lechol Yisrael.